Welcome to the Influential Women Podcast, the podcast that talks to incredible women about their lives, their passions, and their influences, and what really matters to them and to us. This is Nikki Bannerman, and my influential woman today is Vicky Jones. Hello and welcome, Vicky.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure, and good to meet you. And I thought you lived locally here in East Anglia, but your family does, is that right?
That's right, yeah. I was born in Essex, Stamford Lee Hope.
Brilliant. So back to your roots here. So we're having a chat in Essex today. Now, Vicky Jones is an author and was once even in the Royal Navy. Now, you're also a songwriter and do a lot of giving back, don't you, from the experiences you've been through. So tell us some of the music singles you've written and created.
Well, House of Cards is on iTunes, and 100% of the downloads goes to a charity called Wipe Homophobia because they stepped up and they've really supported me. And the lyrics to that song are really personal because, as I said, it's not preaching. The House of Cards is more written from a kind of a victim's point of view, but it's not angry. It's more about sort of saying, you might think someone's really confident, but and they might look like they're as strong as a house, but they're actually as flimsy as a house of cards, as in the slightest thing will knock them. So I wrote that song, and there's another song called Save You, which is more about mental illness, because I lost a friend, unfortunately, to depression. So I wanted to do something with that by donating money to Mind, which I've done. And then there's lots of dance and pop tracks on iTunes as well. So if you were to go on there and just search Vicky Jones, you'll see.
I was doing that last night. In fact, I was listening to the Save You one that you mentioned for the mental health charity Mind, after you tackled the devastating illness depression yourself, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. Mainly after I left the Navy, I think I really struggled to adapt to being a civilian, basically. I still do. And that's probably why I wanted to earn my living as a writer, to kind of almost isolate myself. And it got really bad, to the point where I couldn't leave home. That's why I started my bucket list. I don't know if you know about my bucket list, but I bore everybody about my bucket list. But the reason why I created the bucket list was literally to give myself a list of things to do to get myself out of depression. And some of those things was literally just to go outside, go for a walk somewhere that I've never been. The reason for that is that I wouldn't have to come into contact with people and talk to them, because I had nothing to say, because I was so depressed that you just didn't want to see anybody. But at the same time, as I knew that being cooped up wasn't good for me either. So since I wrote that bucket list, there's 300 things on it. I've ticked off about 200 things. And one of them was writing a book. One of them was writing a charity single. One of them was getting a degree, which I graduated on Saturday. So that was after 6 years of studying. So I couldn't have done those things at the beginning.
Well, good for you. Now, you have a nice voice with your singing. And it's quite an electronic sound, isn't it? But some of the tribute to your friend, I mean, some of those lyrics, how can you help someone who wants to be alone? I'm sorry I couldn't save you. I could see all your chapters ahead. What kept you from turning the page? I mean, they're really emotive lyrics. They're beautiful, but so heart-wrenching, so sad.
Yeah, I mean, they really are. When I write, I do tell the truth. And it was about my friend Vi. She took her own life. She had a lot to live for, but when you don't feel it yourself, it's very difficult to try and tell somebody. And that's what I meant by not wanting to turn the page. She had so much to, I think she, you know, she's got two or three sons, that grown up sons, and I know that she's now, she would have had grandchildren. So it was kind of it was a way of me trying to save her, but I couldn't, because I felt at the time we were both going through depression, and I felt she kind of helped me. But where the guilt comes from is I felt I couldn't save her. But she was so far down the line. She was sort of almost beyond help. I used to go around and see her all the time. And people used to say to me, you know, you can't help somebody who doesn't want to be helped. But I just didn't want to give up, so I didn't. But eventually, I wasn't there on that one time, and that's when it happened.
I'm so sorry, but what a brave and powerful thing that you're doing with the single, and you really put your emotions and experiences into those songs. We've both worked with Sadie Nine from BBC Essex on her. Were you on the Loud Women show as well?
Yeah, I love Sadie. Yeah, she's amazing.
I think they mean loud as in outspoken women, don't they? Rather than really noisy.
Yeah, I think it's more that you've got a view on something. You're not frightened to say how you feel. But a lot of the time, it's uplifting as well. It's not just, but it's about controversial matters as well. So that's why I like it. You don't know what you're going to walk into when you go on a show. It could be about anything that's happened that morning or that week. So yes, it's always good fun doing that.
She's very inspiring at the BBC there, and she's running the breakfast show now. Now, you mentioned your bucket list. Do you really think we should all do one then?
We don't have to. I think it's just if you feel you're stuck in a bit of a rut. I think my view is now is if you get up in the morning and you've got no goals or you haven't got anything, I don't want to say to look forward to, but if it's just repetitive, I think you could end up sort of getting a bit down. So every single day I get up and I just think, you know, what's three things that I want to achieve today? And I'd put a list of what I want to achieve in the year, want to achieve in the next 6 months. I just think if you haven't got that, what I call the pit of your stomach drive to do something, then what are you living for? But that's just my view. I mean, some people might say, I'm perfectly happy, and I'd say, well, just stay as you are. But if you're kind of a bit lost, I would say don't make the goals that big. I mean, some of my goals when I was really depressed were, I think it was like, you know, just walk, as I said, walk a certain path that I've always said. I wonder where that goes to. It might be go and have a different thing in a restaurant that you've always said, oh, I've always fancied trying that. It could be anything. It could be buying a different newspaper so you at least get a different view on something, different magazine. It could be going to see a film that you sort of say, that is completely not in my genre of film, but I'm going to go and see it anyway. And you start opening yourself up. You might meet new people as you do it. You might start going, do you know what? I had this view about that, but now I've actually gone and done it. I feel different. And you start opening up your mind. I mean, I've travelled the world since as part of my bucket list. I mean, this year we did Russia, Mongolia and China. I've been to Andorra, I've been to the Azores. All these different countries that some people would say, why would you want to go there? But it's like, I'm glad to say that I've been, because now I can have a view on them. And some of it is different to what I thought. I mean, Mongolia is one of my favourite countries now. Everybody's Everest is different, if that makes sense. So it's just, if it's how you feel in yourself. If you want to go for it, start small. If you don't, then, you know, if you're happy, that's fine.
So you're helping 100,000 people on your Twitter following?
Yeah, I mean, I get messages daily from people all over the world, actually. They're at different stages. Some people were, you know, flying higher than me. They're sort of, oh, I've done skydiving, I've done this, I've done that, and I love it. Good on you, Vicky. And some people are like, I'm too ill to do anything. I wish you all the best. So everybody's at different stages, and I want to learn from other people as well. It's not that I've got it all figured out, but I just know that not doing the bucket list wouldn't be right for me. I love the idea of always going after something or just the next step. I mean, I did climb Mount Snowdon, I think it was a couple of years ago, and I struggled. Some people could run up it, I don't know, but I struggled, and at one point I was going to quit. And I just said to myself, don't worry about the summit. The summit will come to you when you just put one foot in front of the other. And I literally stopped looking at the top, and I just said, I counted like 10 steps. Then I'd have a break for a minute, 10 steps, have a break for a minute. And eventually I got to the top. And that is literally one of the life lessons that I've learned is don't necessarily worry about the end. And it's how I did my degree. It took me 6 years to do with the Open University. And at one point I wanted to quit, like everybody does. And I just said, don't worry about graduating, worry about the next assignment. Don't worry about the next assignment, worry about the introduction. And that's how I tackled everything. So that's what I've learned from the bucket list. It's not necessarily about the end goal. It's about what do you do in the dark times when you just want to quit and you want to take the easy road.
Good for you. Break it down. Break those problems down. And you're helping an awful lot of people. That's fantastic. What's the bravest adventure you've had? I mean, goodness me, climbing Mount Snowdon must have been it.
Yeah, I think that was hard physically because I'm not as fit as what I used to be in the Navy. So that was a real test for me. Another fear was spiders, but I held a tarantula, and that's my biggest fear. And also donating blood, because I normally hate having a blood test, but I knew that donating blood would be hard. And then it's going to sort of travelling alone. I went to Iceland, went to Cambodia, Vietnam and Thailand. And I just think every single time I've done something, every time I've done something different, it brought up new obstacles that eventually when you get through, that's how you become more confident. And you don't realize you're becoming more confident, because every time you do something, you think you're just constantly having setbacks. But the reason why you're having setbacks is because you're trying something new. And whenever you complete something new, you become more confident, and then you can advise other people. So then they come to you and you can say, look, you know, up to you, but I done this and this worked, I done this and this didn't work. So that's why I kind of sort of say to people, you know, just give it a go anyway. Because if you win, you win. If you lose, that you learn.
Gosh, brilliant advice. I think you should have another book coming out on that. So what would you advise others to do on their bucket list then?
Well, like I say, I think it depends. I mean, some of it can be age-related. Some of it can be how able you are to do things. Some people, what's stopping them is their mental illness, that they're physically able to do something, but they just can't leave the house. Could be financial. There's a lot of things on my list that were for free. I wanted to do all the national trusts, or I think 50 of the national trusts that you obviously pay a membership, but then you go in for free. And that was getting me out in the fresh air, meeting people. You can do anything. You can do a snow angel. You can build a snowman as an adult. You can fly a kite. It doesn't have to be expensive, or doing skydiving or bungee jumping. It's completely whatever your Everest is. You can do it.
Now, you had a blog that has obviously changed hearts and minds. Now, what was your role in the Royal Navy then?
When I joined, it was communications, which is things like Morse code and receiving signals and passing on to the captain. And then also, I was a machine gun aimer as well. So I hate violence, really? But my job on the bridge would be to, if there was a threat coming in, you'd have to get out on the bridge and deal with it, basically.
You've had a very diverse and interesting life. Now, how do you relax then?
I love going to the cinema. I get really excited by film. Music, listening, writing music. I like learning quite a lot as well. So I'll go on YouTube, and whether it's how to deal with something, I find that relaxing, which might be quite strange, but I think I'm a life learner, really. So
doesn't sound strange at all. Now, are you into mantras, how you live your life?
I live my life by a moral compass sort of thing. So I think if it feels right to do, you should do it. You should treat people how you would want them to treat you. It doesn't always work. but I just think if you know in your heart of hearts something to do something right, you should do it. Live every day, like, if you can, to the full. Not every day can be 100 mile an hour, but I always think if you can do something every day that is taking you slowly towards a goal, no matter how slow, I mean, progress is progress. I'm very much into, even though I'm only sort of, well, I'm coming up 37, I still believe now that it's like life is really short, because it goes by so quick. So I think every day, are you moving forward, basically, rather than if you're happy, as I said, staying in the same routine, and you're happy, like deep down happy, that's absolutely fine. But if you're not, I just believe in, even if some people have said to me, I can't afford a bucket list, and I say, well, don't go after the expensive things, or if it's going to take you 10 years to save up for a trip, start now for that 10 years. If every day you're moving towards something, you will feel better about yourself. So that's how I try and live.
What a nice way of living and looking at everything. Now, Vicky, you've been writing a book for 2 years that's launching. How exciting is that? Well done you.
Oh, thank you. It's been a real passion project of mine. So the fact that it's finally being able to be realised is really exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
I think everyone's looking forward to it. Now, do you want to tell us about it? It's called Meet Me at 10, and it's about an intolerance to difference, isn't it? Where did this concept come from?
Well, basically, I was in a writing group in Essex, and I never knew anything about the 1950s Deep South before. And then we were set monthly competitions, and one of the competitions was to write about, you know, meeting people. And I thought, oh, how can I? It was actually about a vending machine, actually. Like, what would you do when you meet people at a vending machine? I thought, I can't write a story about that. So then I started to think of ideas of what would be controversial. And I thought, if you were meeting people from different cultures back in the 1950s, I think it's because I'd watched a movie about the South, and I just thought back then it was controversial to meet, you know, black people, people from different classes. And so I put that as a short story in this writing group, and I started to do more research, and before I knew it, it literally developed into a full-blown novel. I realised that in order to do a full-blown novel, I'd have to do even more research, so I started to go through newspaper archives, and I just got more in love with the story and the culture.
So it just came out of nowhere, and you co-wrote that with someone.
I co-wrote, yeah, with Claire Hackney. Yeah, she came in, and I had the idea, and her writing is amazing. So she would sort of take what I've written and sort of juice it up.
Right, I now have Claire Hackney, who co-wrote the book Meet Me at 10, which is about to release, and it's all very exciting. Tell us how you work together then.
So Vicky had the idea for the characters and the basic storyline, and I stepped in with the structural edit and then started to paint more of a picture of the characters, added in figurative language, and sort of added in the creative writing element of it and making the structure more sound and also adding more colour to the characters.
Fantastic. So how did you meet to start this project together, or how did it all come about?
So we met on Twitter in the first place, and I knew that Vicky was an avid bucket lister and wanted to write a novel. And my background is I'm an English teacher by trade, and I've always wanted to get into creative writing, and I've always had ideas on the boil. But my strengths are collaboration, so I bounce ideas off people, and I always need a hook or an idea, and then I can start to add my colour to it, and then what ifs we did this, and then it just built from there really. And then Vicky had the basic plot line and the characters, two characters that she really wanted to write about, and a theme and issues that she wanted to get to grips with. I'm a historian in my personal life as well, so I looked at the background of the 1950s and Alabama and the South America, Southern America, and started to piece it together from there really. And so Vicky did a blog version, which was about twice as long as it is now, and I came along and tightened it up and shortened it and added in my creativity to it too.
Fantastic, that sounds such an exciting project together, and good for you, and you're all energised and excited about it, and it's about to go, so good luck with that.
Thank you. Yeah, it's October release, and we're really looking forward to finding out what people think about it now. It's been a 2-year project of us collaborating, and it's just now time to find out what people think of our ideas and our story, so really excited.
I'm sure they'll love it, and you've got a lot of followers eager for it to be coming out already, haven't you?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are chomping at the bit to find out when it's coming out, and we have really supportive people on Facebook and Twitter, and they're just so helpful in the dark times when you do all the all-nighters and you're trying to get the edit perfect, and when you miss something and you find it and someone finds it for you and says, oh, you might want to tweet that. It's so helpful to have so many people behind us willingness for it to succeed, and I can't thank them enough, so...
What a great way to launch. And are you getting a boat going off anywhere, pretending you're in 1950s America?
Well, we did say we'd take a bit of a recce to Alabama and put it on the expenses, but that is definitely a trip we want to do. We want to make sure we really authenticate everything that we do. We've got actually a friend in Alabama who has read the first draft and has said that she thinks she's actually been to some of these places that are completely fictional. Made up completely, and she's almost convinced that she's visited these places, and it's almost like hit the nail on the head, and we can't thank her enough for really being our soundbite of bouncing the ideas of this this fictional town that we've written the story in.
I think there's a movie out there somewhere, isn't there?
Oh my god, that would be the dream. I've already pictured the characters in my head. I've got the actors lined up. I've got the auditions lined up. We've got, in a perfect world, if we had no limit on budget, who we would play the characters. And it helps in a way, because when you write the characters, when you've got an image of an actress or an actor in the acting world at the moment, you can almost put the words in their mouth and physicalise the actions and physicalise the interactions between the characters. But yeah, we've definitely got an idea of who we'd like to play the characters.
And Vicky can do the music, so meet you in Alabama.
Yeah, so Vicky can write the music, I can write the characters. It's a two-horse band at the moment. But yeah, we're always looking for extra people to jump on and help us with ideas. And if there is anyone that has any character or actors out there that we've not heard of that would play these parts, and we've got lots of people that do say, well, have you thought about this person? But, I mean, if we did get it made in a movie, and that is dream world, then there's probably going to be new actors up and coming looking for their first role. So perfect world, we've got ideas, but we're always open to new ones. So.
And when does it officially launch? It's now, isn't it? Is it literally October?
Yeah, you can pre-order it on Kindle now. The paperback is being printed as we speak.
Well, good luck with that. Exciting. So who's been the greatest influence in your life?
Anybody that is at the top of their game, and it doesn't matter if it's a sports person or it's a business person. I love learning off of people, say like Oprah Winfrey. You know, you just think, I like learning from their backstory, even though it's really interesting to sort of see how they're living now, like, you know, if they're millionaires, billionaires. I'm more interested in how they got there. So people like her, J.K. Rowling, there's a screenwriter called Dustin Lance Black. He wrote an Oscar for the film Milk. And we follow each other on Twitter. And he inspires me because he's very driven, obviously at the top of his game. But anybody, it could be a sportsman. I just love their discipline, their daily work ethic.
What's your next goal, Vicky?
To see the book do well. I think every time we've had sort of pre-release reviews, and they've been really, really good. And they're from people that we don't know. And we've said, be honest, even though it's kind of, we're a bit scared. But so for the book to do well, and I hope to change hearts and minds, and to at least for people to go, I'm going to see people differently now, or I'm not going to judge. It's not a preachy book. It's much more about just think differently if you can, or it might make you think differently. So for the book to do really well is my goal. And to write more. There's so many more books that I'm planning on writing.
I think your bucket list is a good book for the future.
Well, I'm hoping to do that in a series, because quite a few people said to me, they said, as well as you'll meet me at 10, are you going to write a bucket list book? And I was like, what do you mean? And they just said, well, all the things that you mentioned, I think you should write about your struggles, how you got over them, places and things you recommend. And so I'm planning on doing a series of, it'll probably take about 5 books, I think, because there's so much in each one. Just like short books as to why I started it, when you should start it, if you should start it.
Brilliant, so look out for that. So lastly, what key message would you give to inspire and influence women and men listening out there? I mean, we've had an awful lot of inspiration from you, it's been incredible, but with their day-to-day lives, is there a secret to using those life experiences for them to change their life, form a career?
I think listen to what's a desire. What's the thing that really is you? Some people might be going, oh, you know, I do my 9 to 5, but really I want to be an artist. I want to go back to university. I want to do this. Whatever is speaking to you, in that moment in time, you might not be able to do anything about on that day. But even if every single day you do something that is working towards it, and you're making it where it's, you're putting you first, because that was what part of the bucket list was about, was it was, I almost called it like Project Me, because you're starting to put yourself first, rather than have go on a trip and just say, oh, I'm doing it because it's my birthday, I'm doing it because of this. You start doing it because it makes you feel better. And when you feel better, you start to do more good. Because I personally think that when I started to have a higher self-esteem, I wanted to do more to help others. I think it's difficult to help others when you're not feeling good yourself. So being selfish temporarily can help others in long term. So I just think it's about working towards something of yours every single day.
I think you've got some magical advice there. Really enjoyed it today. So we all can use the lessons that life brings us to change our lives for the better. So go for it, podcast listeners. Give something you've always wanted to do a try today.
Thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
Good luck with your book, Vicky, with your music, your bucket list adventures, and everything else that's happening in your life. Thank you, Vicky Jones, for sharing your story to help influence other men and women today for tomorrow. This Influential Women's podcast is presented by Nikki Bannerman and co-produced with Juliet Nichols. Please keep listening for more podcasts and subscribe for free on Audioboom, Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. Please review us online and influence other men and women to download, listen and subscribe to our podcast.